Hello, and welcome to the live Printing Impressions and Implant Graphics webinar. Today, we're doing Shift to Growth, Discover New Digital Printing Market Opportunities and Applications, sponsored by Kodak. I'm Jim Hamilton, Group Director at InfoTrends, and I'm the host of today's event. Now, today's lineup includes speakers from Watt Printers and Direct Response Imaging. So we'll be welcoming Mike Nikonik and Sam Forgione of Watt, and Ian Flynn of Direct Response Imaging. I will be doing a trends overview to give you a sort of a lay of the land of what's happening in the marketplace. Now, before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can use all of the widgets at the bottom of this console. Your console is interactive. Click on the Tips for Attendees widget to learn how you can customize your experience today. So as I mentioned, today's topics, I'll be giving a trends overview on digital printing opportunities and applications. Then we'll hear from the folks at Watt Printers. Next, Direct Response Imaging. We'll close with some recommendations and conclusions that I'll have, and we'll take your questions and answers at that point as well. So let's start. Let's look at those digital printing opportunities and applications. So now if we think of what's been happening in the printing industry over the past couple of decades, and you can see the impact of digital print and digital advertising on the marketplace. The gray bands that you see there represent recessions. So typically what happens when a recession happens is that there's a drop-off in analog print as the general economy drops. But what's happened also concurrently, as we've seen a rise in digital print, you know, from the early 1990s, and then more around digital advertising with the rise of the Internet in the mid-1990s, a partial opportunity on the analog print side has been eroded. And typically what happens in those times, particularly the times of recession, is that companies look at how they best want to spend their marketing dollars, and there tends to be a little bit of readjustment. These are also honestly good times for service providers to look at their offerings and figure out what they can do to either automate or provide new services so that they're prepared when the economy turns up again. Now, we're also at another very interesting point in technology history. If you think of how people access the Internet, whether they're accessing it through their desktop computer or via a mobile device, you can see the growth curves here, going from about 2007 to 2015. If you think of how people used to access the Internet, or most people used to, it was through their desktop computer, maybe their laptop, going back a ways, predominantly through dial-up lines. But in 2013, there's a very interesting crossover point. More people began to access the Internet through their mobile devices than through their desktops. And that has huge implications for how we market to people, and also the role of print in driving potential customers to online capability, including to their mobile through mobile devices and applications. Now, if you think about the digital printing landscape, we divide it up broadly into four main categories: graphic communication, packaging, decorative, and functional. Now, the graphic communication side, the left-hand side of this diagram, is the one where digital printing has been most active in its early history, in applications, promotional applications like direct mail, transactional applications like billing statements and account statements, publishing documents like books and magazines and catalogs. What we see more and more moving forward is that digital print is expanding out into areas that had not necessarily been touched very much by it, Labels certainly were one of the early packaging applications where digital print grew significantly, and we're seeing more around folding carton and corrugated. And certainly, inkjet technologies have brought us into a range of other areas where you might be thinking of unusual kinds of substrates. So under decorative, that could be printing on glass or ceramics or even wood or textiles, all of these substrates that are unusual if you're thinking of the document world where digital printing really got started. And then there may be a part of this marketplace that really is related to functional. So functional printing, maybe 3D, printed electronics, or biomedical, applications where there may actually not really be any substrate at all, and it's more about the jetting or the application of a material rather than an ink or a toner. What I find fascinating about this marketplace is that there are a number of key values around production digital print that apply across the board. So whether that's on-demand production, just-in-time manufacturing, the ability to create prototypes and proofs, all of those kinds of things are possible within the digital world that typically aren't possible with conventional printing methods. Now, back to the digital pages. If you look at the marketplace and think of where the production digital pages are, it's important to identify those into a few categories, and we do that, InfoTrends does that, in our application forecast. So seven major categories. You see general office, promotional, publishing, transaction, packaging, utility, consumer. In some of those areas, digital print is very central to what's happening. So you see the five there for transaction. You know, your statement or invoice or bill is personalized to you. That document may have a pre-printed logo or other component that might have been done by offset. But in general, there's some component of digital printing in there. And there are other areas, like promotional, where there's been a lot of digital print activity, and very little so far in packaging. I did say there were some in labels, but not necessarily a huge amount. And if we look at the growth opportunities for some of these applications around digital printing, so you see some categories are relatively small today. You know, packaging is a small component. Transaction is a sizable one, but is shrinking now as there's more opportunity for pages to be delivered electronically. There's also a big black and white to color shift going on there with higher value pages, but fewer of them. And then you see publishing, promotional being big categories where we expect to see significant levels of growth. I mentioned a move to color. Really, that's happening very quickly now, driven by some of the high-speed production digital print technologies in color. So you see between 2012 and 2017 a very significant shift to color. People see the value of color pages, and they're using them to a greater extent in a range of applications. And what I find interesting as well is that there are not just CMYK, not just process color in digital print today. There are other capabilities beyond process color, and some of our panelists today will be able really to speak to that point, and I think it's a very interesting one because, you know, being able to do process color, digital print is great, but being able to add a special effect on top of that, like a spot color, for example, you know, a highlight color or a specially mixed color, being able to expand the gamut, so by adding a red, green, or blue, or, you know, you'll see also in some wide format devices the ability to do, say, a light cyan or a light magenta to expand the overall gamut. There may be some specialty types of inks or toners that can be used. So metallic, white, fluorescent, some really fantastic effects that you can get. And sometimes it's just a clear coating. So could be a flood coat, but typically it may be more of a spot coat that can be used as a watermark or as a special type of design effect. And I think really this textured category is one that I particularly love, this tactile embossed or debossed effect, where you can get a raised print effect, but it's digitally printed. And then there's sort of security applications for things like tickets, where you might have a toner that is a UV toner, only visible under UV light. So the person who's taking the ticket can put it under a light and be sure that it is the correct printed official ticket. So those capabilities, I think, are fascinating. And again, our panel will be able to add more light on that particular case. So in this world where print is not necessarily always the central delivery tool, we've done research where we look at how, what marketing managers think about the use of these channels. We ask them in this case, how many different media types does your company use for a typical communication marketing campaign? And I put this one up because you can see that for a large majority of the group, it's 2, 3, or 4 or more. And so that means that they're using print, they're using email, they're using SMS text messaging, they may be using magazine advertising, they may be doing phone calls, all sorts of other capabilities, but very rarely today is a single marketing channel used by itself. And the point that I would take away here is you want to use print very often as a central channel that drives people to the internet, that drives them to use of a mobile device, that allows them to connect with the customer, and that may be through signage or promotional pieces or direct mail components or pieces in catalogs, but it's making that connection that's so important to marketers today. The question I'm sure that's on many of your minds, those of you who are print service providers, is how do I grow? And you can always look at growth in terms of gaining share from your competitors. Certainly that's one way to do it. Analog processes can move to digital, and we see that as a growth opportunity as well. There may be emerging applications. You remember the four circles that I showed before in areas like labels or packaging or textiles or photo books or new areas that are coming out that really weren't as effectively used years ago. And then, of course, there are services and channels, whether it's adding things like design services or hosting websites or providing the ability for customers to access information on branded websites. All of those kinds of things are growth opportunities in our view. So as I think about production digital print and whether it's the right fit for the application, in most cases, the two things that come first are cost and productivity. So if you're trying as a print service provider to identify what the right technology is, you want to be sure that you can afford that device, the running cost, that it has the productivity levels and volume that's suitable for your site. You also want to then look, once those are clear, that you have the print requirements that you need. Are there the colors that you can attain? Color management, are there special effects that you need? Format is important too. What sheet size do you have? Can it be printed in an extended length? All of those kinds of things become more and more important. On the substrate side, what is the range of coated or uncoated papers or your ability to print on varying weights of stock. And then certainly there's workflow automation, which I think is a really big piece of the digital print side of the marketplace. What can you automate? What can you get one operator to handle multiple functions? Let's say pre-press, printing, finishing. Digital print, when there are inline processes, an operator can handle all of those things. And then, honestly, there's process improvement. Where can you really go to expand your business model to allow the technologies and that workflow automation to create new products and services and essentially transform what it is you've been doing previously? And I'll give you a couple of examples of this. So what I see is compelling business transformations that are leveraged by production digital print. On the transaction side, we see white paper in to full color out workflows. So, if you were using pre-printed forms and then lasering on black and white text on top of it, if you can do that all in one pass with a digital device, that's great. There are even white paper factories where all of the components of a transaction or a direct mail piece, the letters, the inserts, the envelopes, are all produced on the same web. That's some great capability. And then to be able to take that full variable color and do transpromotional kinds of output in a transaction environment where you bring promotional components or educational components onto that transactional statement, that adds opportunity. In the direct mail area, certainly we're seeing much more about what I would describe as mass customization, where you're either being specifically one-to-one or speaking to segmented parts of the marketplace. Mail optimization, where you might be printing out your direct mail campaign in the zip code order. Again, that helps you automate the processes. And here, as within transaction, the use of variable color is important. And for books and promotional materials, the idea of printing when, where, and the amounts you need is true on-demand printing. Just-in-time manufacturing would be making those, making that output, again, as you need it to fulfill a channel, whether it's books or promotional materials, as the customer needs. And I think this idea of the printer as a virtual document warehouse is a real key advantage of production digital print, and we'll see how our users on the panel talk about that today. And so at this point, what I'd like to do then is to turn it over to Sam. Sam, you were going to speak first on the Watt Printers side. Do you want to take it from here and give us a little bit of a background on where you guys are coming from and some of the innovative things you're doing?
Yes. Actually, what we're going to do is Mike and I are going to share this conversation, and I'm going to get into some of the projects that we've actually done, but Mike's going to do a little bit of an introduction about our company and some of the philosophy that we have adopted after we've been using the NextPress for well over 5 years now. So Mike's going to start off, and then I'll jump in, okay?
Excellent. Sounds good. We look forward to it.
Great.
So welcome, everybody, and thank you for allowing Watt Printers to tell our story a little bit. Our first slide actually does demonstrate the size of our building, but we are centrally located in Cleveland, Ohio, and from a delivery standpoint, being centrally located in the United States has been a very good situation for us, especially for LTL shipping and direct mail. We are a three-shift operation, and that includes the areas that we'll cover in the following slides. The company is one of the oldest printing companies in Cleveland, Ohio. Obviously, our present ownership and management haven't been around since 1893, but the current ownership has been in place since 1985. And all three of us are career graphic arts professionals that have worked in many areas of the business. We are the true description of a general commercial printer. We have a complete prepress. Our lithographic printing capabilities that now are accompanied by the digital capabilities. The acquisition of a direct mail company 7 years ago has definitely helped the growth of our business. And we have a complete bindery. And obviously, the warehouse shipping and fulfillment is also an avenue of growth. But since we're here to talk about the digital side, we'll kind of stay on that topic. From Prepress, it is the latest, greatest hardware and software from Kodak. In the 10 years I've been with the company, we've reinvested in that area three times. It is the PDF workflow system that ties very nicely into our NextPress and now our new Digimaster. The company has always been committed to the best quality equipment, so as you can see, our press room is all Heidelberg. We also added a companion die-cutting press that also does embossing on a full-size 2840 sheet. We specialize in staccato printing, which is a stochastic different type of screening, which gives us the appearance of continuous tone. It has been a wonderful, unique capability that we bring to the marketplace that people really do like, and we pride ourselves on the fact that we can match our NextPress imaging to our litho presses. Just in the end of last year, we were ending our first 5 years of having a NextPress, and prior to the new one, we had a 2500. It was a five-color press. Now we have a 3900, which obviously gives us more speed. It is with the HD toners, so it's improved our imaging and detail quality. Still with our fifth color options, we previously had all the different glossing options, and including the high glosser. We have the red fluorescent toner that blooms when you put a black light on it. And dimensional imaging, as Jim had mentioned, has been a great unique capability that Sam will probably talk a little bit about. And now with the new press, we have metallic gold, which really is really cool. Any of you that have not seen it, you definitely have to have Kodak come and show you that. And along with the new NexPress, we installed a Digimaster. We had been farming out a lot of pre-printed litho masters that needed one color variable data, and now we're doing that in-house for more than just direct mail, but for many other types of applications. Integrated marketing, we have done many campaigns utilizing PURLs, personal URLs, along with landing pages and direct mail accompanied in different type of drip campaigns. As I mentioned, getting into the direct mail business has been a great addition to our capabilities, and certainly probably our biggest growth area, both in litho and in digital. We also have the capabilities for inkjetting and inserting within our department, certainly the data processing that goes along with it. So definitely Watt has tried to stay abreast with what our customers would like, and really fulfilling the idea of being a true marketing provider.
And taking a look at it from another aspect as a sales rep and marketing person, I viewed this when we first acquired this equipment as a very exciting time, because we were basically just getting in, the whole world was just getting into digital print, and we were focusing on selling offset litho in a lot of direct mail. And as budgets started tightening, as the economy was not doing so well, this was the perfect vehicle for us to get out and start talking to our customers about how you can get a lot more out of your design with utilizing some of these different techniques. And it was actually a lot of fun to be able to sit down with a customer, talk about their design, what they were trying to do, and then bringing up some of these new techniques, which expanded our capabilities to start doing some of the integrated marketing programs that we spoke about earlier. The very first thing that we started dabbling in was the dimensional imaging. And the whole idea behind having that dimensional imaging available is that when you're, let's say you're designing a postcard and you're a designer and you have a limited budget, but somebody says, we want something that's really going to attract someone's attention in the mail. And what this allowed us to do is to apply different textures to imaging. And the whole idea was to be able to get people to keep something in their hands for just a few minutes longer. And obviously, if anyone has ever seen this technique, it's an amazing tool and technique to be able to get someone to run their fingers across it, to touch it, to, you know, they want to know, how did you get this? And we used it for many different textures, such as our sports team, we used it for a football texture. We've used it for basketball textures. We've used it for grass, a chameleon, you name it. And what's nice about it is it's so affordable. And in days gone by, you would have to have done a very expensive technique with foil stamping or even spot gloss UV, which really just, you know, takes a job and blows the budget. So we were able to do that with the dimensional imaging. And then another nice aspect of our situation is we have the high gloss glosser, and what that allowed us to do is to be able to take some of these smaller runs, and instead of having somebody UV coat them, we could use a high gloss coating, and that was a whole lot more attractive. It was a lot less expensive, and once again, having a postcard that's shiny and glossy, people have a tendency to think, well, somebody put some money into this, I'll take a look at it and see what this is all about. So the idea was to not only to create value with the designer and the agency or the end user, but also to help express and enhance a message that was trying to be reached by the ultimately, you know, whether it was the manufacturer of a product or a service. So we started doing a lot of a lot of programs because of it. We would start off with a postcard. We get into integrated marketing programs that allowed us to generate landing pages and websites, and so it really helped build our business a lot. And then we started getting into some of the other techniques, which was the invisible infrared. And what that allowed us to do is create a promotion for a very large retail paint manufacturer. And what they did is that we created an invisible message in a paint can, and there was an offer of 15% off or 30% off. It was variable. And the only thing that made it interesting is you had to bring that postcard into the store and go into the cash wrap desk, and the sales clerk would then have a black light and reveal the deal. So if it was, you say 15% or 20%, it was a great way to build traffic. And because we do have so many other accounts that are retail-oriented, there were at least 2 to 3 other of our larger accounts who adopted this practice as well, and they've all ran campaigns with it. And yeah, the idea is driving traffic.
You know, I think it's really interesting that you can do these things in line as a single process, and you're talking about a range of different capabilities. You know, I was associating that, black light effect more with security kinds of applications, but here you're surprising the customer with what percent discount you're offering. I think that's really fascinating. So it sounds like these are techniques that are being used a lot in direct mail, promotional pieces, those kinds of things. Is that fair?
Yes. Yeah, there in the one case with the paint store, there was a postcard that was mailed out, and then they brought it into the store, and then there was also a card that was handed out in the store if they were just a walk-in. So everyone got to participate in that. But, yes, a lot of it starts off with direct mail with us, and then there's a whole program that's created around it. And it's actually been kind of exciting to go through each one of the programs. Everyone's a little bit different. One was a clothing manufacturer, another one's a paint company. And then there was also another retailer that was children's clothes. And, you know, it was geared towards a more juvenile audience, and the gimmick was very trendy and fun, and the kids wanted to bring that into the store. So it worked out very well.
Excellent. Now I'm gonna ask a question now, because we're getting a number of questions coming in. We actually had some that were sent in advance, and one of the ones I think will be interesting for either Sam or Mike would be, how did you get the buy-in to go onto the digital side of the marketplace? The question here comes: why do the owners decide to buy in? Do they have to go to industry events or learn the applications or get more involved? Sounds like your management team was very much into this from the very beginning. But do you have any insight on that for someone who's trying to convince management to move forward with an initiative like this?
Yeah, absolutely. This is Mike again. It's an evolutionary thing, and we as owners, managers, don't believe in buying it and they will come. You know, you want to have the customer base that is looking for those solutions, and the business is going to be there. So the evolution of Watt was that at the same time that the marketplace was, we had a DI press for on-demand or quick short-run printing, but that was litho printing and didn't have the capability for variable data that the marketplace was asking for. So it was obvious that the DI press had reached its time, that it was not really feasible to serve the marketplace, and that's when we started looking at the advent of the NexPress and the other type of digital presses out there. And after we did a study and testing, we decided on the NexPress because of all of its different capabilities. And I would have to say that it being a joint venture originally between Kodak and Heidelberg was a big seller for us, because we're very impressed with Kodak's technology and Heidelberg as to how they build equipment. So it was evolutionary. The timing was right. There was the need, there was the marketplace that was asking for variable data. and it just made sense. You know, the numbers were there, the technology was there, and it really wasn't a tough decision at that time. It just made sense.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, I think I'll pass it on to Ian now, unless there's more you wanted to say about applications.
I just wanted to add one thing, and it'll be real quick.
Sure.
With the new edition of the 3900, this now allows us to print up to a 36-inch sheet, which we were somewhat limited to before in our marketplace of 20 inches. And so now we're able to do 4-pager, 6-pagers, 8-page gatefolds. And we've also been doing some pocket folders. We just finished one today. We did have a seminar when we got this press in, and we invited our client base. We had about 80 people that attended, and just about everyone who came in some way or shape or form, we've received quotes for jobs, not only with the additional length, but also with the gold. And we didn't really touch upon that, but the gold is now enables us to print metallic colors. We use it in combination with 4-color screen builds, and we're creating greens and blues and reds that are made out of metallic. So it's, once again, we're now on level two with the digital world, and it's very exciting.
Definitely. Now, I had mentioned earlier around CMYK being where most digital print was, and we've spoken a fair amount here about how the importance of that additional color. But you bring out another great point, which is that, let's say, somewhere around a 12 by 18, maybe 13 by 20 inch sheet is about as large as many of the digital devices get, and yet we're seeing companies expanding that from a length perspective so that you can go from, you know, sort of 12 by 18 to 12 by 20, 12 by 26, 12 by 36, and that opens up applications, the pocket folders that you mentioned, the multi-panel brochures. Are you doing anything like point-of-purchase signage or anything like that that would be long and narrow and fit in well there?
Yeah, we just printed a poster that was 14 by 36, and I just recently quoted on a few other pieces that were small quantity. And, you know, what's nice about that, too, is that you can print on these synthetic stacks. So That's also a big plus for the retail world.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think then I will pass it now over to Ian. We will have time for more questions. I see more coming in here, and we'll address them before the end of the hour, as many as we can. But Ian Flynn, President of Direct Response Imaging, would you like to take it from here?
Sure, I would. Thanks a lot for having me on today.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Ian Flynn. I'm the owner of Direct Response Imaging here in San Francisco, California. We're located right here south of Market, in the new tech hub of the West Coast. So we're right in the middle of all these really neat new companies that you're reading about, and a lot of them are our customers. So I started out in this business about 25 years ago selling envelopes and moved on to direct mail, moved on to color printing, and in 2005, we picked up our first digital press, our next press, and we've been a Kodak customer ever since. So some of our clients are in the technology business, as I mentioned. In healthcare, we've got quite a good healthcare business going. We get lots of designers, local designers in. And we recently upgraded our press to the high def and gold inks. We had great experiences with the dimensional printing and some other 5-color solutions like the clear coat. We enjoyed the sheet size of the next press and the stocks that it could run. So we made the plunge at the end of last year and upgraded the press to do some new things. We also spend quite a bit of time and effort developing our web-to-print capability. We have some very nice asset management storefronts, collateral management storefronts that drive print directly into our system, into the press, and those have been terrific for us. So So I've got this what's hot in digital printing slide, and on the left side you can see that a lot of the inline fifth color solutions are listed there, and I'd have to say right now the dimensional coating has been a great winner for us. And the gold metallic ink we just got started with, and we've already done some pretty nice jobs with that. So, and I have very, I'm getting great feedback on the gold metallic ink. We spend a lot of time tracking down and figuring out unusual materials to put through the press. We've done jobs on panoramic papers. We've run magnetic stock. We've run metallic papers. We've run quite a bit of plastic through the press. And we've even tried some of the multi-loft stocks, and those have worked out nicely too.
Actually, Ian, can you?
Sure.
That's a new term for me. Can you tell me what you mean by multi-loft?
So multi-loft is you print several sheets of paper, and you press them together, and you get a very, very thick sheet of paper.
Wow, that's interesting. I'd love to see that effect.
Sure. Have you ever seen the business cards that are printed by Moo?
Is it where you see like a, almost the you know like a color line between two white
Correct.
Sheets? Okay,
Correct.
All right. Yep.
Correct. So that effect.
Okay, great. Sorry to interrupt, but
sure, not a problem.
Wanted to understand that.
Yeah. So a couple things about the next press that we run here, 14 by 20 size for us. We don't have the extended feeder as of yet. Customers love the fact that they, you know, it's what you see is what you get. What comes off is exactly what they're going to get the first time around. The inline coating or dimensional or gold, the inline fifth color. And the ICS is pretty terrific too. We calibrate colors and hold them through a very long run. Day after day. So I've got a slide here showing how the dimensional coating works. If you haven't seen it before, the upper layer is the coating and the lower layer is the color image. And that tactile sensation makes an orange look and feel like an orange. Which is, it's pretty spectacular. We've done lots and lots of dimensional jobs here, and it's definitely has been a winner for us.
I've often wondered, actually, whether it was some Kodak guy in the lab trying to make the thinnest coating possible and then came up with something that made the fattest coating possible and decided there was an application for it. Often wondered how that was developed, but you're right, it's a tremendous effect.
It is. Here's an example. Of an invite that we did, as you can see on the left, that's what it looks like in just in regular four color. But on the right, you can see where we raised the color, and it goes right to the edge of the sheet, which the person holding the invitation can feel the bump in the printing. It was a really nice invitation. Here's an example of the UV ink option. And the red is what you would see if you shined a UV light on this piece. If you turn the light off, all you'd see is the green ticket. So there's lots of applications for this, and that marketing application we heard earlier from Watt Printers was pretty terrific. So there's not just security applications, but there's also marketing apps for that too. This is our newest addition. That is the metallic gold ink, and we've had this for about 2 months now, and it's been terrific. We've been building not only jobs with the straight gold, but also with four color builds underneath, and a surprising range of four color effects can be made. With our recent upgrade, we also upgraded the ink set that we have. from the older inks, which were good, to the newer inks, which are far, far better. We have smaller particles means better colors, denser blacks, better color matching, smoother flat fields. And that last piece about gloss level is really curious. I don't know how Kodak does it, but it does work. On an uncoated stock, there is quite a bit less oil, and on a matte coat, there's some more, and on a gloss coat, there's the gloss level seems to match it almost exactly. I wanted to touch on one other feature that we have that we've been very successful with here, and we've got lots of customers that ask for it, is the matte finish. It's an inline process where we can remove all the shine from a sheet, and a lot of customers that have been used to getting very flat offset pieces over the years really appreciate this, especially on uncoated stocks. We do a lot of invitations, a lot of business cards, all sorts of things using the matte finish, and it's been a real hit for us.
Tremendous.
And I think that's it for me.
Yeah. Well,
so I'm ready for questions.
Yeah. You know, there is a question that came in while you were speaking, and you had a slide where you talked a little bit, or you had some of the, I guess, the more electronic delivery web-to-print kinds of questions. So the question came in,
sure.
Which web-to-print software do you use?
We use Presswise.
Okay.
By SmartSoft.
Mm-hmm.
And it does MIS, and it does websites, and it's fully integrated.
All right. And, you know, Sam and Mike, how about if I throw that same question to you? If there's an interest on one side, they're probably curious about that as well, if you're like to address that one.
Well, we actually have not gotten into web-to-print per se.
Mm-hmm.
We've done it more through traditional pre-press and Darwin, but not actually a storefront style.
Yep, okay, understood. So as people look at the question and answer session there, you've got an opportunity to submit some questions. I have some here, and I'll start with those. I have a couple of closing comments that I'll make too. But please feel free to put some questions in here. And let me ask. I'd say in looking at a couple of these questions that there's interest in understanding how the decision process came through to purchase a given device. Now, for both of you, it seems to me this is going back probably 5, 6, 7 years for the initial purchase. But, Ian, maybe you could start. In terms of buying a digital print device, what were you looking for? What did you consider as you looked at the device? And, what swung your decision in the end?
Well, we've had this, our current press, for 5 years, and we just recently upgraded it. We did look at other presses, and there are some very terrific alternatives on the market. It's a very competitive landscape for digital presses. And there really are. It was a very hard choice to make, but we decided to stick with Kodak because we have this built-in market to ourselves, mostly
mm-hmm.
in the area in Northern California. This is HP Indigo country, and we're one of the very few Nexpress shops that are offering all these different features. So it's been good for us.
Interesting. So, Sam, Mike, any thoughts on that one? Again, if you're talking about a purchase that was going back probably to the, early 2000s.
Well, certainly we did an exhaustive testing amongst all the different brands, and we approached it like a litho printer, so we created forms that would be challenging to the press to achieve the type of reproduction quality that we expect on our sheet-fed lithography presses. So we sent them files to make sure that they would image from corner to corner to corner, printing solids without streaks, printing screens corner to corner to corner without banding, the ability to consistently reproduce day in and day out. Certainly I agree that the ICS system that we have on our press as well gives us that. And through our test, the Kodak Nexpress by far outproduces from a quality aspect and certainly equivalently to production standards the other pieces of equipment. And I think our marketplace, our customers definitely see that because they're amazed when they get their jobs from us day in and day out that they are even printed on a digital piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I said earlier, we try to make sure that our digital press matches our litho press, and we go through far more calibration every morning on our press than what Kodak recommends or even has in their self-diagnostics. We have a test form that we image, and then we measure and document and then compare visually to the standard. And we're very committed to wanting to be able to reprint jobs over and over and over again so they look the same.
And that's also making that work across your offset and your digital is I presume another reason why you're so focused on that level of calibration as well, because you want to be able to have them be interchangeable, essentially. Is that fair?
And there's campaigns that have pieces that are produced litho as well as digitally, and there are times that somebody might have a meeting, so they have us run a short run immediate sampling on the digital press, and then the main run is going to be on the litho press. So there's that comparative situation does exist, and we want to make sure that it's as close as possible.
Yep. Now, here's an interesting question. Do you sell wholesale to the trade? So for any of the respondents, but maybe Sam and Mike could take this one first, even for your offset or for your digital, do you sell either to wholesale, or are you just direct to your own customers?
It's mostly all direct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We don't really get into that. That's our market, and like Mike mentioned earlier, when we're doing a multiple piece campaign, I've enjoyed the advantages of being able to do a large brochure on our offset press, have a postcard that matches it, have another six pager that matches it on the next press, and at the time that we purchased this press, Kodak was definitely ahead of the rest of them in the reproduction quality of what was happening. Some of the other digital offerings at the time looked like they were, you know, very expensive copy machines. Although the technology has caught up, you know, tremendously with all other manufacturers, we're still very happy, especially with the new HD inks. The HD
mm-hmm.
inks are awesome. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very impressive.
All right. So, that was Mike, right?
Sam,
I'm sorry. So,
okay.
Ian, in terms of your wholesale to the trade, are you in the same situation where you're going, you know?
Well, we sell to quite a few of our own direct customers, but we also have a good group of designers and print brokers that we work with here on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do a lot of shipping to the Midwest or the East Coast, but we're happy to talk to you if you're, west of the Rockies.
right. Excellent. The questions are pouring in. You've obviously captivated this audience. Let me take one quickly that was directed at
sure.
me. So it says the InfoTrends forecast for digitally printed packaging applications is not very optimistic, and stands in contrast to what I guess others are saying about the marketplace. I think if you look at it, it's just if you look at the forecast actually by a compound annual growth rate, it's growing quite a bit. But right now, it's just labels. And you're right. There are just a few vendors who are focused on the label and, let's say flexible packaging side of the marketplace, yet there are a lot of new product introductions coming out. We'll see more of that. But when you really think of the number of products that are available for, let's say, more document-oriented applications, you probably could name 15 or 20 companies that have some level of light production to heavier production, digital print in document areas. On the packaging side, particularly the folding carton and corrugated, it's there are not as many there at this point. Now, here's another interesting question. This is like multiple choice, although I think maybe you ought to be able to select more than one. The question here is, what do you use digital for the most? A, variable data. B, short run. C, special effects. Sam or Mike, do you want to take a first shot at that one?
Well, I think I would probably say direct mail. We do an awful lot of short-run postcards that are focused to new store openings or specialty promotions, and so those make sense to be on an express, so you're printing the complete job and all of the mailing information all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say on-demand would be second, and then specialty, you know, is like anything that we do here at Watt. You know, it's the glitz and it's the glamour, but, you know, a lot of the commodity and regular work is what pays the bills. So,
Right. So that would come in third, but probably be maybe the one that people get most excited about when they see.
Absolutely.
Yep. Ian, how about you? So let me give the offerings again. So it's the variable data, short run, or special effects. What do you use digital for?
I would say print on demand by far and away.
Yep.
Our customers are of the impatient type, very impatient type.
All right.
When the job gets to us, it's already late. I would say number two is probably various special effects or special materials, and then number three is variable data. Even though I came from the direct marketing background, I would say that's kind of the smallest of the three for us. But
mm-hmm.
maybe
mm-hmm.
we're a little different.
Yep. Here's another interesting question. We have so many questions here. I don't think we're going to get through the whole list, but I'll do as many as we can in the time that we have. So what are the highest volumes of a single item you have printed on a NexPress? So what was that item? Ian, maybe you could go first. What item have you printed the largest volume of, and what was that volume?
Recently, we printed a lot of plastic signs of various languages. I mean, they were all the same size and the same material, but it was different languages and storefront signs for a large internet company.
Ah, okay. So
yeah,
thousands and thousands of them.
Thousands and thousands of them, right,
yep.
Right. And it was a great application for the NexPress.
Interesting. Sam, Mike, how about you? How would you take what are the highest volumes of a single item you've printed on a NexPress, and what was it?
Now, we love to brag about that stuff because we have printed 500,000 coupons for a New York City retailer, and it was for one store, believe it or not, and it was a special promotion to drive people into the stores. And the paint retailer Sam was talking about was somewhere in a neighborhood of 40,000. And again, it was all because of variable data is what caused that, and or the black light.
You know, it's interesting how that campaign could drive that level. Which that's a lot of pieces. That's good.
But the cost per unit versus what they would spend for advertising for whatever their sale was or whatever they wanted to get out of it was minor.
Yep. Now, I know we've got basically two print-for-pay types of companies on this panel. I see a couple of questions that are coming up that are a little bit more around the implant market. And, you know, there are certainly sites that in implants that do have NexPresses. I think for the purpose of this particular webinar, we'll stick more to the commercial print side of them. And I'm getting questions also, I think, from folks who are more in that exploratory sense and looking across all of the market for the different kinds of opportunities. And I think ultimately today it's going to be hard for us to cover that. So let me go to my conclusions quickly here so that we can finish up within the hour as we promised, and I want to be sure we're conscious of your time. So in closing, the kind of recommendation that I have is when you think about your strategic path moving forward, you really can think of it in two different ways. It's operations-driven or innovation-driven. Now, all of these types of things require continuous investments. Now, it may be in technology or your business processes or even sales and marketing, maybe training the people internally. There are all sorts of investments that need to be made. on the operations side, generally when you invest there, you get higher speed, better quality, you're more efficient, maybe you're greener, maybe you're better at your customer service in terms of how you support folks. When you're doing things that are innovation-driven, typically that leads to new services, new products, customers you've never been able to work with before, or meeting the needs through business models that you haven't been able to support, as I was talking about with some of those other, you know, business transformational kinds of digital printing things. And I think if you think about that, those who are not making investments in either side really are the laggards in the marketplace. Followers are doing a little bit on both sides, and the leaders essentially are making both the operations-driven kinds of investments and the innovations-driven one. One thing I really want to make sure that you know about is that there is a white paper that what they think senior analyst Richard Romano wrote, Shift to Growth, Discover New Digital Printing Marketing Opportunities and Applications, and you can get that free by you know, clicking on the resources widget below so that you can have access to that and get a good look at that. And I'd highly recommend that. Richard does a lot of nice work, and I'm sure it's an excellent piece. So, in the end, I just want to thank our sponsor, Kodak, for supporting this event. I think we got a great opportunity. If I could ask for applause, I would do so for our panelists today. So thank you very much to Sam and to Mike and to Ian. Much appreciated. I think the knowledge you shared is really, really important. And I'd just like to thank everybody for taking the time to attend this webinar today. We're really just about out of time, and so on behalf of Printing Impressions and Implant Graphics and Kodak, I want to thank you for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of the archived and upcoming webinars. And also, if you will just take a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that appears on your screen, it'd be really grateful. We'd love to hear your comments, your thoughts on that. Your questions have been great. We listen, and so it will impact the webinars that come to you in the future. So I hope to have a chance to see you in the future at the next Printing Impressions Group webinar. And again, thank you so much for our panelists. Appreciate it. Take care, everybody.